Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday to everybody on their way into work, enjoying this beautiful weather outside, a little bit cooler temperatures. It is the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack finishing up week number two with us. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That, guys, is where we go to the phone lines.
It's time for revenge.
Yes. It's not as much fun when the rabbit's got the gun. Been saying it all day. Allie did a great job, fair foul, with the wives. And now we bring in Grant McCauley. And Granny, Grant, I'm just going to throw it out there real quick before we get to the Braves. Just hearing all about your guys' meet cute. We've had conversations. And she just straight up was like, yeah. Grant's pretty smooth. And I was like, what? She said she had to be put in her place one time because somebody was like, yeah, Grant, Grant's got some game. And, she finally realized it the first time you guys hung out. So good for you, my friend.
Well, interesting. I'm going to have to catch up on this on the Odyssey app, it sounds like.
The app don't have this, brother.
Yeah, this is off the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a show behind the show. I got you.
That's right.
She says you guys were burning the midnight oil the first time you hung out. So it's all good.
That is true.
The person she had to defend you with is a very poor judgment of character, and among other things. But anyways.
It's not me.
No, it's not. Grant, Schwelly went out there last night and did what he – I think it's what he does. I know he had a rough game here too. I think too much. Did people, and I know that you know the people I'm talking about because you talk to them every day. Did people make too much of his rough patch because it's a sixth quality start in eight outings?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little bit concerning. That's the thing. And he hadn't really had a back-to-back bad starts. I mean, I guess you could go back to when he broke in, but I don't know what the expectations really were at that time. I know for me, I was surprised that they'd called him up as early as they had, but clearly – he has shown, he's demonstrated that he's got the pitches to be able to make the necessary adjustments. It was just how quickly was he going to be able to get there? And I feel like last night was a huge step back in that direction. I feel like he's much more of the guy that we've seen dominate than the guy that got knocked around a couple of times. So overall, my worry meter about Spencer Schwellenbach, 1 through 10, was it about a 3? If it continued to be a problem, then yeah, that number could go up. But it's a long season. Not everyone's going to be a gem. And I think that this is as much as anything, and Brian Snitker talked about this yesterday, he learns more through this adversity. He becomes even better down the line. And that, I think, is just kind of who Spencer Schwellenbach is. And great to see him get back on the beam last night and throw some pretty important innings for the Braves so they could ultimately outlast the Reds and win that series.
Grant, it feels like getting to 500 for the Braves. We are taking one step forward, two steps back. So I'm curious, do you think getting to 500 is as meaningful to the Braves, the team, as it is for all of us fans watching from the outside, analyzing when are they going to get there?
I definitely think it's that checkpoint that they want to get to very badly. I think it's like you're on a long trip and you know that stop that you really want to make is ahead, but then you start looking and you're like, oh, I thought it was only another mile. Okay, well, maybe it's a few more miles. You just kind of keep going and going. It just feels like it's dragged on for a while. But I know Brandon Gaudin had that great stat about teams that start 0-7, getting back to 500, how long does it take? And it was months for literally every other team. So with that in mind, as the Braves move into the second week of May, they are pretty close to it. This weekend feels like a pretty good opportunity against the Pittsburgh Pirates, a club that was 12-26 as of yesterday and fired its manager, who was kind of the sacrificial lamb for – I think a lot of other things going on up there, but we'll stick a pin in that and just say that the Braves have a great opportunity to get themselves on track. I know that it does mean something to them. The guys have talked about that, but it's only as a stepping stone to get to the other bigger things that involve consistent play. And everybody down there is well aware of how important consistent play could be for them.
Hanging out with Grant McCauley, 92.9 The Game, Braves insider. And Grant, I think you bring up a bunch of good points. And I think that is, like, if you can get back to 500, there's a little bit of a – it feels like a reset button in a number of different ways. And one of the things I do want to highlight, you and I have had this conversation every week for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks now, where before the year we talked about how this roster was constructed, talked about the power hitters and the slugging. I got to give Brian Snicker a lot of credit, and you tell me if I'm pointing towards the right place. You saw a couple attempts at sacrifice bunts last night. There's been better situational hitting and awareness the last couple of nights. This team, it seems like, Grant, has changed its approach in recent weeks. For the better or worse, they've changed some of the things they've done at the plate. What do you make of that, and how long will that continue?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I haven't really seen an ultimate change. I know that they have gotten some hits ultimately, and they have won some games, and they have outlasted the Reds a couple of times here in order to do that. But I don't know that the team really looks altogether that different. I mean, you had some moves that were made last night, some of them that I think worked, and some of them that, and look, this goes with managing any and every game. If you knew the outcome, it'd be a lot easier. But pinch running Stuart Fairchild for Marcell Ozuna with two outs in the eighth inning. I kind of scratched my head and said, well, I'm not sure that's when I'd pull that lever.
Right.
And sure enough, Ozuna ended up coming back up in extra innings. I would never ask Orlando Arcia to bunt after not having an at-bat for two solid weeks. But look, these are the things that we get to look at from the side and say, okay, well, I wouldn't want to do that. But somebody's got to make a decision. And ultimately, you're asking guys to go out there and keep themselves ready to execute. So I think they're trying to do every little thing that they can, to your point. But this is a club that, when it's going well, is going to have the middle of the order slugging. It's going to have one of the most dynamic players in baseball at the top of the order, hopefully setting the tone in the next 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is. And you start to feel a little bit more like it's the Braves that you expect. And they would like to very much, I think, feel that way. But it's been a long, crazy 13 or so months of not being that team that I think has created a bit of an identity crisis, I'm sure, for those who are watching, and maybe to a lesser extent for the guys who've been trying to stay healthy and trying to get back on track and trying to contribute to kind of get through that long journey and kind of get back to being what they're designed to be. Because this isn't a bunch of guys that are aging out into the bad years of their career. These are guys that should be putting up some of their best numbers, but for some reason, there are reasons, it just hasn't been happening at that rate. And when you get a couple guys going, a couple other guys either end up on the injured list or take a step back. So it has been a very, very weird, and again, to use that phrase, strange ride.
I don't think I want Orlando Arcia anywhere near your home plate at all with that, Grant.
Dang.
What is wrong with Ozzy Albies?
I don't really know if there's a straight answer to that in terms of, I went back and looked at, you know, Ozzy when he's going well. You know, I look at the StatCast data to tell me, okay, well, what's not happening that normally has? And with Ozzy, it really hasn't changed altogether that much with the exception of launch angle. He does not have the right launch angle right now. And with that said, we're seeing a lot more pop-ups. But I'll give Ozzy Albies some credit. Like, look, there's a lot of guys that are going through it. It's not going to be one of these guys that's going to carry the team. You're going to have to get Albies and Harris and Olsen and Riley and, you know, on down the Sean Murphy, on down the list to be more consistent. I just don't think they've found that yet this year. But with Albies, he drew the walk that got that rally started to tie the game. I would not have said, hey, you know, if we need a walk right now to lead things off, it's going to be Ozzy, because he's been aggressive, I think, to his detriment. But that was a professional plate appearance that he put on right there, and I thought it was important. And sometimes I think when you've reached a certain level and you're pretty far away from it for a while, people start to wonder, hey, is this who he is now? I don't think this is who Ozzy Albies is permanently. I think that there's an adjustment or two that needs to be made. And when it does happen, and maybe he gets a little confidence going with a little hot streak, it might start to feel a little bit more like the Ozzy Albies people are expecting. Because last year, keep in mind, broken toe, then a broken wrist. He only came back to bat right-handed because he wanted to be with the team that badly. So this is a guy that wants to be out there and has been a big part of a lot of big things that they've done. It's just not looking the way that it did 2, 3 years ago when pretty much everything was going right for this team.
It sounds like Bo needs to lay off Ozzy, in
my opinion.
Let's
go.
The rotation, go back to pitching for a second. The rotation has started to solidify, and Bryce Elder, He's been an important part of that. What has been different for him this year? Because I think last year we were all a little bit nervous when he would be starting games.
You know, I think that talking to Bryce Elder on this homestand, he gave me some really good insight on what's changed from last year to this year. And in fact, that's exactly what I asked him to start our conversation. He said, well, to be honest, last year I just flat out sucked. And that's a pretty good self-evaluation because nothing seemed to go his way last year, comparative to especially the first half at least of 2023. And he said that, you know, I just had to continue to try to work to figure the things out. You know, he pitch-wise, I think, has done a much better job of, you know, tunneling pitches and really working with his whole arsenal, making sure that he's getting the deception that he needs that an A.J. Smith-Shawbert doesn't need because he's going to run it up there 96 miles an hour and has a splitter that can, you know, dance around the bottom of the strike zone and get a lot of swings and misses. But I think Bryce Elder's done a good job of identifying who he is and what he does well and executing that game plan and giving the Braves some really important innings. He's done it. Grant Holmes has done it. A.J. Smith-Shawbert has done it. And as of what we all heard, and I'm sure you guys talked about it a lot this morning, the idea of getting Spencer Strider back into that mix could make this rotation a little bit better as it comes together with a Chris Sale that's pitching well and a Spencer Schwellenbach that showed you exactly what you needed to see yesterday. So some of the parts is starting to look pretty good at this point, whereas I think it was a very much a work in progress over the first 5 or 6 weeks of the year.
Grant, finishing up here with Grant McCauley, Braves insider for 92.9 The Game. Grant, I just want to ask this question because it popped into my head last night. You had Blewett go for a couple innings, looked really good. Montero had a pretty good outing. I know that a lot of people are focused on Craig Kimbrell. Do you think there's a timeline on when he's done marinating, and what do you think the corresponding move will be for the Atlanta Braves?
I don't know the second part of that, but as far as timeline is concerned, I don't get the idea, at least right now, and I can be wrong about this because sometimes they just make decisions that are based on all of their internal stuff that, you know, from the outside we don't see. But I haven't really seen enough from Craig Kimbrell at AAA to lead me to believe that he's quite ready yet. He has a nice little ERA, but fewer than a strikeout per inning, pushing a walk. I think it's 7 strikeouts per 9, which is not exactly Craig Kimbrell territory. He's usually around 12 or 13, and he's also walked about 7 batters per 9. And again, a very small sample size, but at AAA, the fastball still, I think, starting to tick up a little bit, but not quite there. The precision, not quite there. So I think they're just going to give him that time because he missed all of spring training. He obviously struggled in the second half of last year. And he's not the guy that's throwing at 97, 98 miles an hour consistently anymore. So I don't know what the timeline is going to be for Craig Kimbrell. I'd like to think he has a role to play. But right now, I don't really look at the bullpen and say, hey, there's an odd man out, especially with what, you know, Scott Blewett did last night that reminded you that, hey, maybe this is a useful arm as well. And as far as options are concerned, to make a long story longer, I believe it's only Elder and Smith-Shawbert that you could send down to the minors and not have to cut somebody. So that's another situation you kind of have to monitor right there.
There you go. Grant, we always appreciate it, man. And Allie has admitted that you wear the pants in the family. So it is what it is.
I don't know about that.
Good man.
Appreciate
good
you, Grant. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
You got it.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Morning Shift. Another fun week, man. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us. You're going to have the Steakhouse coming up next. I can already tell he's raring to go out there. Till Monday morning, appreciate you guys. Have a good Mother's Day weekend, and make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.